That was recorded back in London, 1936. And that's Benny Carter. Carter's work permit as guest arranger with the BBC Dance Orchestra did not allow him to play in public, but he could record. And most of his British recordings show off his amazing versatility. Here on Swinginette Médiévale, he plays solos on clarinet and alto saxophone. And that track is titled for HMV's large studio complex at Médiévale in West London. Other soloists are future band leader Ted Heath on trombone, Duncan White on trumpet, and Buddy Featherstonhaugh on tenor saxophone. Welcome to the Jazz Treasury. My name is Rich Sylvester, and thank you so much for letting me in your ear once again. Today, on this episode of the Jazz Treasury, we're looking at how the Yanks performed as they came to Britain. Europe, back in the 20s and 30s and 40s, they were much more open to the American, especially African-American jazz musicians. They treated them with a lot more respect than they were getting in the States. So many fine jazz musicians, such as Fats Waller, Benny Carter, Coleman Hawkins, and in fact, later on, Dexter Gordon even lived in Europe for a while. Duke Ellington got the royal treatment when he came to England. Jazz came to Britain in the euphoric years following victory in World War I. Over the next 20 years, many great jazz artists such as Fats Waller visited the country, inspiring the first generation of British jazz musicians and encouraging the growth of a dedicated jazz audience. By the outbreak of World War II, the British musicians were speaking the jazz language like natives. Let's go on to another track. Let's listen to Coleman Hawkins. One of my personal favorite saxophonists is Coleman Hawkins. And in this case, he's doing Lady Be Good, recorded back in 1934 in London, and it features Coleman Hawkins on tenor, Stanley Black on piano, Albert Harris on guitar, and Tiny Winters playing bass. This is November 18th, 1934 in London. Let's listen to Coleman Hawkins playing Lady Be Good on the Jazz Treasury. Coleman Hawkins, distinctive sound of Coleman Hawkins playing Lady Be Good. This was the first of many recordings made by Hawkins during a residence of almost 5 years in Europe. His accompanists were three members of the Lou Stone Band. For a quartet version of a well-known tune, it has quite an elaborate arrangement. Rhythm breaks, and a key change into the final chorus. If Hawkins ever felt constrained by the relatively unsophisticated playing of his European colleagues, he took care not to show it. Indeed, he was unfailingly encouraging. Coleman Hawkins, undisputed king of the tenor saxophone, arrived in London in March 1934. He was to remain in London almost until the outbreak of war in 1939 and recorded prolifically, although mainly on the continent. Touring the music halls with Jack Hilton's band, Hawkins gave musicians throughout the British Isles a first-hand glimpse of the expressive power of the instrument. Like Ellington, he was a man of great presence and a force of character who impressed everyone he met. It was during Hawkins' European stay that the dispute arose between the British and American musicians' unions, which virtually put a stop to visits by the American jazz players. Jazz first hit Britain on April 7th, 1919. The opening night of the show Joy Bells at the London Hippodrome. Its star was George Robey, the Prime Minister of Mirth, and among his supporting acts was a novelty outfit newly arrived from the United States, the original Dixieland Jazz Band. And during the band's performance, half the audience sat in stunned disbelief, while the other half, including a number of American soldiers returning from the Great War, cheered and stamped their approval. Robey, apologetic with rage, confronted the manager with a simple ultimatum. Either they go, or I do. Some of the hotels and restaurants in the West End of London imported American musicians to bring a touch of authenticity. Sometimes whole bands, including those of Paul Whiteman and Paul Svecht, sailed across. Svecht's band controlled the Georgians, a small group that played in the Dixieland style, and was led by Frank Gorante, a trumpeter raised in New Orleans. And here's a little snippet of information for you. Edward, Prince of Wales, later King Edward VIII, and Duke of Windsor, was a notorious sitter-in. There was scarcely a nightclub in London or Paris where he had not insisted on playing drums with the band. He even sat in with Duke Ellington. Let's move on. Okay, let's listen to another track. How about we go to Fats Waller here? And this was recorded in New York City, but it was inspired by his stay in London. And during his British tour in the spring of 1939, Fats composed his London Suite, six musical impressions of city scenes. At his first recording session back home in New York, he cut this charming version of one of them with his regular band. He often fretted at being typecast as a jovial funster, and this delicate piece, with its catchy wisp of melody, allows us a glimpse of his other, gentler side. Let's listen to Fats Waller do Bond Street on the Jazz Treasury. Thank you.
You're listening to the Jazz Treasury Podcast with Rich Sylvester.
And that was Fats Waller, recorded in New York City, but inspired by London. And that featured Fats Waller and his rhythm. And that was Bugs Hamilton on trumpet, Gene Cedric on clarinet and tenor, Fats Waller, of course, on piano, John Smith on guitar, Cedric Wallace on bass, and Slick Jones playing the drums, recorded in New York City in 1939. When the liner Transylvania docked at Greenock in late July 1938, it deposited at the quayside a fervent admirer of Scotland's best-known export. Theater audiences, both north and south of the border, soon fell victim to the jovial charm of Thomas Fats Waller. Like Armstrong, 6 years earlier, he came over as a variety and entertainer. But this time, there was no hostile notices. This was partly due to the Fats' unconquerable good nature and the sheer tunefulness of his music. All right, let's move on. Listen to another track. How about we listen to some Jimmy Dorsey? Now, Jimmy Dorsey also visited London. Of course, he's not African-American, but excellent jazz musician, and we heard from the Dorsey Brothers on the last episode of the Jazz Treasury. But this is Jimmy Dorsey doing Tiger Rag. With one of the quickest changes in the history of recording, Dorsey plays both clarinet and alto saxophone here, one after the other. His technique was remarkable for the time and remains impressive today. He swings with the kind of airy confidence that British soloists were still striving to attain. His accompanists here are Spike Hughes and his Three Blind Mice, four top players of the day. Let's listen to Jimmy Dorsey doing Tiger Rag on the Jazz Treasury. Tiger Rag, Jimmy Dorsey. Of course, Jimmy did his quick change between alto and clarinet, Claude Ivey on piano, Alan Ferguson on guitar, Spike Hughes on bass, and Bill Hardy on drums. London, 1930. So throughout the 1930s, a stream of Black American entertainers passed through London in musical shows such as the Blackbird Series, Vaida, Buck and Bubbles, the Nicholas Brothers, Elizabeth Welch, Adelaide Hall, it was through artists such as these, both in person and on the radio, that British audiences became accustomed to what had once been an alien idiom. Small-scale encounters, such as that between an English schoolboy, Cyril Scutt, and a black GI who taught him boogie-woogie on the parlor piano, were commonplace. In the 1950s, Scutt was a prominent player on the London jazz scene. At the other end of the scale was Glenn Miller's AEF Band, a full-size concert orchestra incorporating dance band, light orchestra, small swing combo, solo singers, and vocal group. There were other service bands from the official ones such as the Sam Donahue Navy Band to the many ad hoc groups made up by ordinary GIs. The U.S. forces also bought their own radio station, AFN, and record label V-Disc with them. It is hardly surprising that by 1945, the jitterbug had replaced the bunny hug and foxtrot as the current threat to civilization. All right, let's listen to one more tune here. Great violinist named Joe Venuti also visited London, and we'll be listening to Joe Venuti and his Blue Four doing Satan's Holiday. This is recorded in London in 1934, when Venuti's longtime partner, Eddie Lang, died suddenly in 1933. Venuti teamed up with Frank Victor, a guitarist who sounded uncannily like Lang. In August 1934, they came to Britain to appear at the London Palladium and recorded four numbers during their stay. This is a showcase number for Venuti's considerable violin technique. He also swings magnificently, which is more than can be said for the South African tenor saxophonist Don Barrigio. Let's listen to Joe Venuti and his Blue Four doing Satan's Holiday in London, 1934, on the Jazz Treasury. That's it for this episode of the Jazz Treasury with Rich Sylvester. Thank you so much for the comments and the reviews you're giving on Facebook. Please be sure to visit our Facebook page, the Jazz Treasury Podcast, and please tell us what you know. Share what you know about each musician. And this is basically a program that goes into the history of jazz. Excellent for university students, high school students, anyone. Even if you're a connoisseur of jazz, you can learn a little bit of something. I've been listening to jazz for over 40 years, and I'm still learning new things. And the information I get is from, most of it today, was from the Jazz Greats magazine put out by the Marshall Cavendish Foundation back in the late 90s in Britain. And the music and the information comes from online sources, record albums, biographies I've read, many different sources. But thank you so much for listening. We're going to be playing some... The Jazz Treasury is going to be moving into some better studios. So the next couple of weeks, we'll be doing some replays from older episodes you may have missed. Some oldies but goodies, so stay tuned. We'll be back with all new programming in about 4 weeks, which is about 2 episodes from now. We'll be coming back with all new episodes. So please, thank you so much for subscribing to the Jazz Treasury. Tell your friends, tell your family about us. And in the meantime, enjoy the jazz.